Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us in this beautiful live in the flesh broadcast. Usama Dakdar with you from Missouri. And once again, sadly, tonight we will not have our co-host and the great producer, Christy Johnson, because, as you know from our last week program, she is sick and she have COVID-19. So we don't have to say it, but we have to do it. We keep Christy Johnson in our prayer. Hopefully, Lord is willing, next week she'll be in full strength and back to on her feet to produce our show. But tonight we are blessed once again for the second time with Brother Paul. And New York is shining on the live podcast here as he is going to be our great producer once again and the co-host. We give you the title co-host tonight, Brother Paul. What do you think of
that? Thank you. Thank you. It's an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Absolutely. Well, last week I could not make you co-host because I was not even a host. I was just sitting next to Sam Shimon, and he talked for a good 2 hours. And then when he finished, guess what? The program was over. So I did not say anything last week. I was just a guest last week. I sat listened to our brother Sam Shimon. We will miss him, of course. He is back to Arizona as he continues to travel to his ministry. Please keep Sam in your prayers as the Lord will continue to draw him closer to him and make a better godly Christian minister and man out of him as he continues to serve the Lord. But Brother Paul, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Living in Libland is proving its problems. I still can't see my dad. I'm not allowed to see my dad because I won't go get a jab and I won't go get tested. So
you are the second person who told me the same thing today, that they are literally separate us from the loved one, a grandpa, now your dad, and I'm amazed about what's happening in this country. We actually proven that the Bible is true, and we also know for sure that we are living in the end of time because they call good evil and evil good, and woe to those who do such a thing. Who in the world would say you cannot see your loved one for the COVID-19 or whatever reason, but at the same time, as we're going to be talking about it tonight in depth, we are bringing people with COVID-19 and we put them in every city in America.
Oh, we're going to be talking about this. Yes.
Sure. So, you know what, brother? I'll be praying for you, and I hope that somehow these idiots, or what I call youth idiots, will come to their mind to realize what they're doing is not right. It's not right morally. It's not right medically, because they have no proof or evidence. And I want you to tell my audience exactly what you shared with me earlier today about your relationship with your dad and these idiot decision of not allowing you to be with your dad. So go ahead.
So I filed a Freedom of Information Act request back in February asking for the evidence that existed for their scientific proof that keeping people from their loved ones in elder care, like persons in nursing homes or in assisted living, keeping them separate from their family would stop the spread of COVID. And in February, I filed. By law, they have to respond and provide that information within 30 days. So I got a note saying, okay, we'll do that for you in May. Then I got a note in May saying, we'll give it to you in July. And I just got a note that says, we're going to give it to you in October. And I wrote back and I said, look, if it didn't exist, it didn't exist.
Because you know what, Brother Paul, I'm not going to give it to you because they don't have it.
Exactly.
I mean, literally, and I don't think they will ever have it. So good luck to get what they promised to get you.
I'm looking for a lawyer that will actually go after them because they are saying they are making medical decisions not based on science. And that's why I filed the FOIA, because I want it public knowledge that they're making medical decisions without any use of science. But we are in live land, and we're going to mention New York. We're going to talk about the New York governor. So I was wondering if we – okay, so let's – New York, if you're unaware, New York Attorney General Letitia James released a scathing report this week on Governor Andrew Cuomo's sexual harassment and escapades of those working under him. These include what can only be described as groping incidents. President Biden Biden only does what he's told. And if you listen to what he says, you realize he was told to tell Cuomo to step down. I'm going to play that.
Sure. Back in March, you said that if the investigation confirms the allegations against Governor Cuomo, then he should resign. So will you now call on him to resign, given the investigator said the 11 women were credible?
I stand by that statement.
Are you now calling on him to resign?
Yes.
And if he doesn't resign, do you believe he should be impeached and removed from office?
Let's take one thing at a time here. I think he should resign. I understand that the state legislature may decide to impeach. I don't know that for a fact. I've not read all that data.
And he's using a photo of you embracing him in his self-defense to say that these are commonplace kind of embraces that he made and the allegations against him. Do you condone that?
Look, I'm not going to fly-spec this. I'm sure there are some embraces that were totally innocent. But apparently the Attorney General decided there were things that weren't.
One more on Governor Cuomo. You're calling for him to resign now. My question is, do you think he should be prosecuted? And what is your message to the women who have now accused him of sexually harassing them and abusing them?
Look, what I said was if the investigation of the Attorney General concluded that the allegations are correct, that back in March, that I would recommend he resign. That's what I'm doing today. I've not read the report. I don't know the detail of it. All I know is the end result.
So he was told what to do to ask him to step down.
It's amazing that I believe this is the first person who dwell in the Oval Office who have nothing to do about anything except to obey whatever opinions or orders or commands are given them. He's supposed to be the commander-in-chief, not to be told, not to be ordered, not to be passed around. But here's the question, Brother Paul. Well, so he's saying, and he should resign, okay? The governor of New York should resign. Now, according to that order or that decision, will Joe Biden resign also? Because I believe he have similar accusation against him, or what do you think of that?
There's actual that actually was discussed today and yesterday in the news, where the White House reporters were asking Psaki if they were going to do that. They were going to talk about, okay, so Joe was accused of all these things. Are you going to resign? and they asked.
I'm telling you, that's the truth.
They said, where's that investigation,
brother?
Did
I have
you hear what their
it.
Response was?
Yeah, I have not watched that news, and I'm glad that somebody else is saying that, not just me. But logic is, if we have this as a case, you know, in the court of law in America, if one judge said this person commits this crime, therefore this person should pay, say, $100 penalty. Okay, $100 penalty. Now, if anybody else in the country commits the same crime, according to that study case, if anybody else commits the same crime, he or she must pay $100 penalty, because that is now become the case. It's the law, judged by the jury. Now, if the jury says the governor should resign for touching women, well, I think Biden needs to resign because he touched women. He snipped their hair. He likes to kiss them. I mean, we got videos. I mean, at least with the governor, it is she said, he said. I don't have any video. Have you seen any video of him touching any woman, grabbing a woman, kissing any woman? Have you seen any picture for the governor? We don't have one picture. But with old Biden, we got plenty of videos, plenty of pictures, sniffing and kissing and touching.
And that many just actually happened this weekend.
What?
That just happened this past week. They have a picture of him sniffing a little, he called a little girl to sit on his lap. And he said something to her in her ear, and she kind of got, if you look, she looks kind of uncomfortable. And, yeah, he was sniffing her hair. It just happened.
Well, I think he's addicted to some smell of shampoo and stuff like that you wash your hair with. So he maybe need to buy these stuff and sniff it in the local office. He does not have to smell it on girls' hair. But I'm telling you, the truth, it is the truth, brother. And let me give you the bottom line of what's going on with that governor. If you are a Democrat in this country, you can get away with many crimes. If the same problem or the same crime or the same solution or even less, much less, was committed by a conservative Republican, it's over. That person must resign on the spot. He will not stay for a week or a month or any of that. And I want to talk about that governor, other crime besides touching, grabbing, and whatever he did to these ladies. Now, here is, I said that before, and Christy is my witness, and so many of you who are listening to us right now know for sure this is a fact. In America, education for a person to commit any crime and get away with it. Number one, he or she must be a Democrat. So if you're a Democrat, you already got a ticket, a free ticket to get away with a crime. Number two, he or she must be black. Okay. Number three, he or she must be a Muslim. Now, if you're a woman, you got the extra blessing. She. Why? Because nobody, think about it. Fifth District Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, she commit crimes which supposed to be punished by 18 years in prison. But guess what? She's serving her second term as a Congress lady. Why she's having that privilege? Oh, she's a Muslim, she's black, she's a woman, and she's a Democrat. That's all what you need to get away with any crime in America. And sadly, I don't think the American people are realizing this is a fact, this is a reality. So what do you think for what I have shared so far, Brother Paul?
I with Ilhan Omar, I used to call her the incestuous adulterer because she was in a marriage to her brother. But, yeah, you know, the Muslims apparently think it's okay for one of their own to commit acts of incest and adultery. I had thought they would kill those people because that was part of Sharia. I mean, isn't that part of Sharia?
Yeah, but in reality, she did not sleep with her brother. She was just married to him for fraud paperwork to help him to become a citizen American to get the privilege, which is so stupid. It's so ridiculous. It is nonsense. It is the whole world first and American second, because if you are a foreigner like myself from Egypt and you go to college, you got privileges none of the white or the black in America can have. I can literally have free education. I can have free this. Why? Because I'm a foreigner, minority. It is the only country, not only in planet Earth, but in the history of humanity. Think carefully, guys. America is the only country in the history of humanity, from the days of Adam and Eve until today, where people who have no rights, they get all the rights, and the people who are supposed to have the rights, they have no rights. You got me? Let me say it again. People who have no rights can have all the rights, and the people who are supposed to have the rights, they have no rights. So right now, if I cross the border coming from Mexico or come from anywhere around the world illegally, I can go to any hospital in America. Just name it. Give me the name of the hospital, and I'll go there. I don't have any type of surgery. I have all kind of medical expense, and I'll pay nothing, zero. But my wife, my beloved wife, because she was born in America, and she's an American, she's a citizen in this country. If she goes to the same hospital, we have to sell our home to sleep in the street to pay the hospital bill. How do you like that? Just think, this is just one thing. So illegal in America have more rights than the Americans who live in America. This is, and by the way, this only happened in America. In the history of humanity. It's not like maybe, say, 2,000 years ago, they used to do this in some other country around the world. No, only in America. So I don't know what to tell you, Paul. I don't know what to tell you. It's just unbelievable.
Just to give an example of what you're talking about, in New York State, you're required, I believe it's in every state, every employee is required to take a sexual harassment course every year, and you have to sign on saying you've done it. Well, we've just learned that this week that Cuomo had signed on for those sexual harassment courses, but actually his signature was created by one of his employees, so he never did that. So again, Democrat got away with it. And then he also engaged in what us New York State residents understand, especially us relatives of those in nursing homes and elder care, understand as mass murder. I'm going to play a tape by Jonathan T. Gilliam here. Now, Jonathan Gilliam is a national security expert. I did not realize lives in New York, but he stood up and said something. I'm just kind of amazed when I think about this guy getting away with things. So listen to what Gilliam says on Cuomo's mass murder, and notice the attorney general who was assigned to look into it kind of chickened out. Here we go.
Go ahead, Blue.
And I think what we see here today, not just grieving families, but you see people standing up to tyranny. You see people standing up to oppression. You see people standing up against a tyrant who has played the people and acts as though he's a mafia boss. He is not. He's an elected official. He can be removed from office. And the FBI should be investigating this to the utmost extent of which it's possible. And I do know that it's possible if they put politics aside and they went after Cuomo responsibly like they would for any other civilian and hold him accountable the same as they would any other civilian. Cuomo not only would be out of office, he would be in jail. That's what needs to happen. And
wow.
See, he just backed you up.
Sure. It's the truth. But don't forget, the governor of New York is a Democrat.
And the governor of New York is
the American people.
The governor of New York is doing another thing. He's taking away the freedoms of everybody. He's saying you have to have a key to New York thing. He announced the key to a New York City pass, a vaccine passport that's effective next week. Black Lives, this is incredible. So you can't right now, if you do not have a jab if you haven't received gene therapy, some people call it vaccine because they've listened to misinformation. It's not a vaccine. It's not legally defined as a vaccine either. But if you've gotten this jab, you can go to the restaurants. But if you haven't, you can't go to a restaurant. You can't shop. There's all these things that you can't do. And Cuomo was just advising people to close up, not allow people who have not been vaccinated, to not given the gene therapy to come into stores or shop or buy anything. But Black Lives Matter actually responded to this, and it's the first time I can say that I somewhat agree with them.
Are you telling me you are in the same line of thought of the Black Lives Matter? What color are you, man?
I'm as white as they come. But
so you're going to join me and my people?
I'm going to join. I do not agree that this is racist, but I do agree that they are right on a point. They're calling it racist. They're saying only 55% of black people have been vaccinated. I think it is – sorry, 55. They're saying 55% of black people in New York City haven't been vaccinated. I think it's highly possible that 55% of white people – 55% of Asians, 55% of, whatever you name it, whatever race.
All the colors.
Have not been vaccinated. I think it's that high a percentage.
So, explain to me, Brother Fox, are you trying to tell me that Black Lives Matter are upset, or are they okay with the decision of you have to be vaccinated? What is going to explain? Help
they're
me out.
Calling
here,
it, they're calling it Jim Crow 2.0. One of their memes says, I wasn't allowed to buy groceries today. You know what? That's what this guy wants. Another one says, I think of it as a new Jim Crow. And it says vaccine discrimination is systemic racism. Well, it's not racism. It is systemic bias. That's for sure. I do agree that the concept is accurate. New Jim Crow. It is exactly.
Uh-huh.
I think it's exact.
Well, but
one other.
Go
ahead.
Paul, you know what's important than that, really? I believe we're getting close to the end of time where this country will control the life, not just of the American people, but the rest of the liberals worldwide, the communists and the socialists, they're going to control the life of everybody, not just about COVID. It's about everything else. You must submit to them so you can get your grocery, so you can live. It's not just it's going to be control freak worldwide. We're going to have the world order, and we're going to have the fulfillment of the prophecy of the scripture. What the Bible said, it must be fulfilled. And I believe this is coming in our lifetime, Brother Paul. I'm not talking about 50 years from now or 25. I'm talking about in the next few years. You're going to see in 1 year. If you have told me this is going to happen in America before COVID, I would tell you, it's too early, man. Maybe 50 years, maybe 100 years from now. But in 1 year, do you realize how much change happened in America in the last 15 months? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I have never seen somebody take so many actions against America and in the position of president. I can't think of anything that we would recognize as American that he has done besides taking the office of president, but I have not seen him do anything that I would consider red, white, and blue, apple pie American.
No, exactly. You're right. You know, when I saw him signing this his executive order on day one, the stacks folders, which was
executive orders.
He signed, and I know without any doubt, the man is signing paper. He had never read it. He does not know what's in it, and he could not understand or comprehend what's in the paper. And he's signing one executive order at a time. When I saw that, I said, America, you're about to be removed from the face of the earth. It is so sad, man. So sad.
When somebody has dementia, they just can't focus. I mean, I sadly, my dad is experiencing this, and it's hard, but that is what Biden has. I can tell you as somebody, as a child of a wonderful, outstanding father who has gone out of his ways more times than I can ever comprehend just for me, that I've watched this happen to somebody I truly love, and there's no doubt in my mind that Biden's experiencing this. I think this is actually what they created, something called an adult abuse reporting line for stuff like this. And, you know, I think that Biden's wife and his family should be reported for elder abuse, because this is just wrong that they're not getting him the care he needs.
Well, it's sad, man. It's sad. So let's go back to the governor of New York. And I believe this man have committed many crimes. The sexual things, I'm not really it's bad. I mean, he needs to be obviously removed from office. But worse than that, the thousands of elderly people whom he literally made the decision on their behalf for their death, and their families who are just been shut down or set aside. I don't know how in the world these people are living. If I have lost a father or a mother, or grandpa or grandma in this nursing home, with the stupid, wicked, evil decision of such governor, I will not rest until I will make sure that he will pay for his crime against them by suing, by court, of course, not any like retaliation like Muslims would do. But
I've got the evidence now. If my father dies and I am not allowed to see him, I have factual evidence now that there is no scientific proof that keeping me from seeing my dad is going to prevent the spread of COVID.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But because what this governor is doing, not just him, but the rest of the liberal governors in this country, fit with the agenda of the Democrats of the White House, the Democrats of America, for the destruction of America, I guarantee you, Paul, within the next 3 months, you're going to see this country shut down again, no schools, no businesses, and it's going to go until you finish midterm election. I guarantee you, this is exactly what they're planning to do. And we're going to prove it from the rest of our show today, okay? Because they're not making decisions for the safety of America. They're making decisions for the good of the next term election, period. And because what this governor of New York and the rest of the wicked, ungodly, un-American, hateful governors' decisions they made to shut this country down, because of their decision, we got O'Biden in the White House. That's the only reason why O'Biden is in the White House. It's because of these wicked people. It seemed to me, I can only imagine, close my eyes and think for a minute, what in the world happened in America? Oh, the Democrats met with Obama, and he said, there is no way we can win the White House. There is no way we can keep the Senate or the Congress. But we need to create a crisis. So I can only imagine they made a phone call to China. After all, that stupid doctor is spending our millions of dollars in China to create that virus. They know it. They know it. That man should be hung from a tree, not in a closed room, in a tree with all the cameras on him, so the American people can learn a lesson. But that's not going to happen. They'll hang you and me, Brother Paul, before they get that stupid doctor in a rope around his neck. But anyway, so they met together with the Chinese. They say, hey, can you send us this stupid virus? Oh, yeah, well, please, we need it so badly. Send it to us. Okay. We'll leak it out of our buildings here to our community here, and then we're not going to allow these people to go anywhere in China, but we have to send them to Europe and America. Sure, please send them over. And Obama and all the Democrats say, it's coming, get rid of it, and we're going to shut down the country, and we're going to win the election. And what happened in America? By the way, I was talking to a guy in Canada. He's telling me what happened in America in the last election has been happening in Canada for years. He's been fighting it in Canada for over 18 years, and that stupid Muslim president or prime minister of Canada, he won the same way O'Biden won in America. Same way, same machine, same fraud, same thing without COVID. But COVID was the last action which the Democrats took to use for the destruction of America. And that is the reality, ladies and gentlemen, of how the Democrats will win midterm election. And that's how Kamala Harris will be the president of America 2024. And that's how you can kiss this country and your grandchildren goodbye. Unless the American people wise up and rise up 2022 and win the seats of the House of Representatives. I'm not talking about winning 10, 20 seats. I'm talking about 70, 80 seats, and then win the White House in 2024 and get rid of all the garbage Republican in name only, the rhino, and get rid of all the dumb Democrats who hate this country. And we get rid of all the garbage governors, Democrat liberals, who hate this country, and some of the Republicans who care less about this country. That's what I see the future of America. One of the two. One of the two. American people wise up and rise up. For heaven's sake, the Cubans are waking up, and the American people are in a coma. The Iranians are waking up, and the stupid American in a coma. The whole world is waking up, and we are going in a coma. God help us. God help us in this country.
I was just talking to someone who was kind of shocked that all these protests are happening throughout the socialist countries in Europe. We're talking about almost every country in Europe. They're now having massive protests against lockdowns. Wherever there's a lockdown or shutdown, there are massive protests. We're talking about France, Germany, again, all the socialist countries there are having massive protests. But here there aren't. So people are asking why there aren't.
I see the whole world. American people are no longer what they used to be. Your grandpa and your ancestors who died to free you and me today to enjoy what we have in America are no longer here. We got sissy, girly men. If you think about what happened to the society of America, when we allow the minority to control the country, literally 1% gay guys who like to use the bathroom with the ladies can do it, and we're sitting there, we do not know what to do about it. And 1% Muslims can teach our children what they desire in all over our public schools while we cannot say in Jesus' name in the same public school. And now you see girly men who are not standing to protect their wives and their children, and now we got the divorce rate skyrocket. And we got children born out of wedlock in the black family skyrocket. And we got everything in this country going in the bad direction, in the wrong direction, in the black end. We're going inside a tunnel that does not have any light. The future of America is history as long as these liberals can control it. Who would say in the history of the church that the Christian of America cannot go and worship in the church because of some decision of ungodly, wicked, evil men? I thought we Christian obey God more than we obey men. When they told Peter and John, don't preach in Jesus' name, they said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again. No, they said, no, we must obey God more than men, which means we're going to preach in Jesus' name. Can you find me now two church to do Peter and John did in America? It's getting sick, man. And if we continue, trust me, ladies and gentlemen, if we continue on that road, I don't think there's any future for America. I don't think so. I'm sorry. The Muslims will be in the mosque praying when they close this country again, but the church ministers, those who love Jesus and love the government, who are sick and liberal, will shut down the church building. I will repeat again what I said to you guys a good 2 years ago when they started talking about closing this country, okay, a year and a half ago. I said, if I'm a church minister and they make a decision to shut down, I said, do you have a Walmart open? Oh, therefore my church will always be open. I will make sure my church is cleaner than Walmart. I now have the right number. If my church will fit 200 people, I will make 4 services of 50. And I will guarantee you, I will have enough volunteer of my people who will clean the bathrooms and the pew and the pulpit with chemical, and we'll keep it cleaner than Walmart can ever be. And then we're going to grow it up that maybe within 4 or 5 months, I'm going to have enough to have service every 2 hour week long, which means I grow my church from 200 to 2,000 believers, maybe actually 3,000 believers. We have churches closed, Brother Paul, from the last close of this country. They never opened again. We have churches is closed for good. And if they will do that again, trust me, there will not be church left in America. So this is just my simple, poor, humble opinion about how we as Christians will react to the decision of these garbage, wicked, evil Democrats who hate America, and most important, they hate Jesus and hate us, the Christians. Go ahead, brother.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. I've seen it happen here in Libland, New York. They made rules saying you can only have X amount of people in the church. It just made it impossible. And many churches I'm aware of are no longer functional. There's some thought as to why that happened, but I think it's, you know, a concept of the government telling you if you can worship or not, that goes against our First Amendment. And whoever thought they I mean, this stuff you thought would never happen. It's the draconian governors who did this. That's not President Trump that did that. The closure of churches, that was done by governors. And in many states, there's a few states where there was no closure. South Dakota was one. There was no closing. There was no shutdown. I mean, there was a small one later on, but I don't believe that it affected churches. It says something about the need by these demagogue, tyrannical despots who thought they had a need to control the people who love Jesus. That's the scary thought.
Well, you know, and some states like Florida and Georgia, they have some closed down because obviously we do not know too much about coronavirus, but now we know. It is just another disease, like much less of previous diseases, and they're using it for scaring the daylight of the American people, shutting down the country, controlling the country, winning elections. We should never allow to do this again. First time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. We should
never allow to do this again. Yeah,
ahead,
it's survivable. 99.8% survivable when you are, was it 17 and younger? It is 90. Yeah. It only comes down to 99.6 if you are. I think it's 99.6. I have to go back and check the stat. If you are in your 70s and older, so the survivability only goes down when you're at the end of your life. That's it.
And that's, don't forget, all those people of the old age or even in young age for other health reasons, which they normally die every year. For heaven's sake, how many people died last year with heart attack? How many people died last year with stroke? How many people died last year with cancer? How many people died last year with diabetic or kidney failure? None, because they all died with corona. I'm sorry. I'm not that stupid. And then after the vaccine, all those who are dying, why are they dying? Now they go, they die because they have other problems. Wait a minute. Why can't we say vaccine killed people too?
There's an actual study that was done that revealed how accurate you were. They're saying that the CDC system count. I was just looking this up on Epic Times. The study revealed that out of the 161,392 that were counted through August 23rd, 2020, if they actually went by the rules that were in place before they decided to change the rules so they could boost the count for COVID, the actual number of total deaths that would have occurred was only 9,684 to the virus.
Exactly.
So
let me tell you.
That's an incredible difference.
Brother Paul, let me show you something happened just last week. I have my niece from Egypt who were here in America illegally for the last 2 years, and she is married to an American husband. Well, she's doing her green card paperwork. So the government of the United States of America forced her to take the vaccine. Otherwise, they will not allow her to finish the paperwork to become an American citizen. Well, even so, she has been married for a year or so, a year and a half now, and she won't have a baby. And according to the doctor's opinion, she should not be vaccinated because we do not know what this vaccine is going to do to her baby. 30 years old, young lady, she's 29, turning 30, and she'd been married for a year and a half. She would like to get pregnant. She does not want to take that stupid vaccine, but they forced her to do it anyway. She did it. Well, guess what? She made her husband sick. Right now, her husband is laying in hospital with this, machine they put on you?
A ventilator.
With a ventilator, and he is literally facing death. Thanks to the stupid government of Missouri to force people to become citizens who are here legally to have the vaccination. But in the same time, as we can get to it right now, if you don't mind, Brother Paul, tell me about how many people we bring into America illegally and we put them in the 48 states of the United States of America who we know for sure that they are sick with coronavirus, but we don't vaccinate them, and we don't know anything about, but we are using them. That is Biden. Oh, Biden and the stupid Democrats are going to use them as to repeat the same attack which came on America literally a year ago for the great victory which O. Biden won. The Chinese brought this disease to America, and now O. Biden and his people are bringing the same disease in America. Give me your numbers, Brother Paul. What's going on in the border?
I don't have the number, but I do have an article by PJ Media. It says, yes, the chaotic border is a COVID super spreader by Rick Moran that came out today. He writes that, incredibly, there are some flights scheduled to deport illegals that had more than 25% of the passengers testing positive for what? COVID. ICE ended up removing those passengers from the flights, but there is little doubt that the United States has a COVID super spreader problem at the border, and the responsibility is wholly Joe Biden's. NBC News actually said migrants are not tested for COVID in Border Patrol custody unless they show symptoms, but all are tested when they leave Border Patrol custody, according to DHS officials. Okay, so they're all being tested. Okay, so as of Wednesday, more than 15,000 migrants were in Border Patrol custody, according to Customs and Border Patrol data. Okay, 15,000 migrants. And, you know, you think about this, and how many, I mean, this is, they left, they're leaving 853 children a day. 853 children, unaccompanied minors, are being left each day here.
Can you tell me why these stupid Democrats are doing that? Give me one reason besides winning 2022 election. Give me one more reason. Just one reason. Shoot one.
Oh, that's the only way they can create the illusion that COVID is still a problem.
And I'm amazed. Why? How many? The next question. They test these people. Are they going to test them again the following week? Are they testing again the third week?
What are they testing them with is my question, because the CDC just revealed this past week that the test did not differentiate between COVID and the flu. So, I mean, there's a huge, huge number that they've inflated.
But the thing is,
so how are they testing them?
I know, Brother Paul, I know some people who went tested and they were negative. And 4 days later, they went tested and they're positive. Are they going to test these people every day until we know for sure in the next 3 months that they're not sick? And why we bring him here anyway? And now we got this garbage, the leader of the Senate now, the Democrat, he's telling us, or one of the top people, that these people have the right to vote. Hello? You got 2 million votes to the liberals in just 1 year. Give the Democrat, the White House, another 4 or 5 years, you'll have 20, 30 million new votes. Democrats. They bought this country with open border. They won. They will win every election from now until when there is no more election in America, because there is no America because of the open border. You don't have to have a high school diploma, ladies and gentlemen, to figure this out. Logic, common sense, hello? Do you people know how to think?
It's scary. I mean, it's scary there's no common sense there. This is crazy. It's hard to accept this.
Let me put it this way. Remember I told you about this beautiful niece who were forced to take the vaccine to do the paperwork to become a citizen? Her daddy has been trying to come from Egypt for the last 4 years, and they will not give him the visa to come to America, even though he's been in this country 4 or 5 times in the past. And he is a great citizen, a great human, did not break any of the visas in the past, except his visa was expired after 5 years. They only give you a visa for 5 years, and after five years, you need to renew it. They will not renew his visa for the last 4 years. Family members, I'm not going to name them or tell you how they're related to me. They've been trying to come to America now for over 12 years. Some is on the roll to come to America as immigrant for the last 13 or 14 years. I told all my family, stop this garbage. don't wait for the embassy to be open in the American embassy in Cairo. Fly to Mexico. I will take a bus and I'll fill it 50 to 100. And when I come to the border, I know that Biden people will fill me with diesel, and I will continue to go back and forth, and I can bring to America by myself, Paul, by myself. I can bring to America 10 million people in the next 3 years, every day. But I'm not going to even hire people to drive bus every day. I just go to the border and bring them, come back. Go to the border, bring them back. I can make three
Todd Benzman's. I'm sorry. Todd Benzman actually, I interviewed him, and he revealed something that's going on at the border, which could really backs what you're saying. He said what's happening is instead of the migrants, you know, avoiding detection, today they turn them, they go over, they look for a Border Patrol person, then turn themselves in, because
sure.
then they're given a Social Security card when they let them go. I said, wait a minute, you're not saying they're giving a green card.
Let me ask a question. Are they forced to take the vaccine before they give them the Social Security card, or they give them the Social Security card without vaccination?
No, gene therapy required. No gene therapy required.
So why my niece was forced to take that garbage injection? Why? Because she's legal.
I find that a violation of civil rights.
I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, we are living in a country which is the uniquest country in the history of humanity, where the people who have rights, they're not getting it, and people who do not have any rights are getting everything. I guarantee you. None of these illegals, the 2 million which came to America in the last 7 months. I mean, think about it. In 7 months, we got 2 million. And this is slow work. Because I believe when Kamala Harris become our president, which could happen after midterm election, so she will not be counting the first year and 11 months as one of her terms, that lady will literally hire airplane companies to bring people from all over the world to America. America can be loaded with the votes for the victory of the Democrats in less than a year. I mean, literally, if Kamala Harris would do it her way, or any of the communist socialists do it their way, they can bring enough people that you will not have a voice in America, period. Period. Think with me. I talked about that in my presentation, Revealing the Truth About Sharia, Islamic Law. And I talked about the Prime Minister of Germany. What's her name?
Oh, Merkel.
Merkel. She brought to Germany in 2.5 years, I believe, almost 2.3 million Muslims. She brought 2 million in less than 2.5 years. And she said, I'm sorry, I did not know. I made a mistake, okay? Can you imagine if we have Kamala Harris bring to every state 1 million? I mean, literally, Texas is 3 times bigger than Germany, okay? Alaska is 5 times bigger than Germany. We're going to bring 1 million for every state, Muslims, from just pick up a couple Muslim countries, Egypt and Indonesia. I can tell you without any doubt that Kamala Harris or any socialist communist come after her, maybe Obama will make the decision for them because they are all obeying Obama. They can bring 50 million Muslims to America in less than 2 years. 50 million Muslims. That is if they're going to just dump 1 million in every state. You will be a minority, Paul, in America.
That's too scary. And to think about those social norms that they have that I just wrote about, too freaking scary. I'm not willing that I will not give up my country that easily. I will fight.
I said that was 4 or 5 years ago when the Marco made apologize about her mistake for bringing all these Muslim refugees. And I said, this will never stop. The British are still bringing Muslim refugees. The Germans are still bringing Muslim refugees. The Sweden are still bringing Muslim refugees. Even though the crime committed by the Muslims in Europe is beyond imagination. In England, as we covered before, we talked about literally 2.5% of the Muslim refugees from Bangladesh and Pakistan are responsible for 84% of the child rape.
Yeah, he's exactly
right.
If this is not
an alarm, and that's this statistics by Majid Nawaz, a Muslim man who claimed to be moderate, and he said the reason this is happening is because of socialist or culture problems. No, it is Islam. If this is not a big a red flag as big as China for the people in Europe, they should stop immediately bringing one more Muslim to Europe. But guess what? The number of Muslims is growing bigger and bigger. Look at Canada. Canada is loaded with Muslims. Why? Because they put the Muslim president. Canada would be, the border between the United States and Canada would be greater danger than the border between us and Mexico. I said that before and I repeat again. Wait until Muslims control Canada and make it the United Muslim Canadian blah, 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 whatever they're going to call it. They're going to change Canada to a Muslim community, Muslim country, Muslim state, whatever you want to call it. And then we have to build a bigger wall between us and Canada, which Mr. Trump brought. But it's a hopeless situation. Well, anyway, well, let's move on. What else do you want to talk about, brother?
I have a pastor. Ryan Chavo was arrested in the UK on July 22nd. I saw an article in Christian Post. Christian Post wrote, they titled the article, U.S. Street Preacher Arrested in London Says Speaking Truth is Now a Hate Crime. It's by Ryan Foley. He writes, after facing arrest and detention for preaching that homosexuality is a sin, an American evangelist is warning that things are getting very bad in the UK and other Western countries, suggesting that the situation has deteriorated to the point where they are becoming communist. Ryan Chavo, who describes himself as an evangelist and a missionary, was arrested in London on July 22nd. You remember there's a Muslim mayor of that place on July 22nd for preaching that homosexuality is a sin. When Chavo is an American, he spends a considerable amount of time in London and frequently ministers to British youth and others gathered in public squares. In an interview, the Christian Post, Chavo recounted the events leading up to his arrest and warned about its implications for free speech and freedom of religion in the UK and Western civilization as a whole. He said, I was preaching the gospel on the streets as I frequently do. But it was about a 30-minute message, and in the course of a long message, I can touch on many topics that I believe are pertinent. At one point, I talked about the issue of homosexuality and transgenderism. I said that homosexuality is a sin. I talked about how it's destructive and the damage the transgender agenda is doing to children right now in the schools because it's being pushed on children at a very young age there. Chavo told the Christian Post that one of the things he said while preaching was that the churches that have rainbow flags on them were not real churches. His message drew the ire of one young woman whom he believed was a lesbian. According to Chavo, she was very upset with what he said, and so she called the cops on him. The cops showed up. As documented in a video of the arrest, Chavo was detained purportedly violating Section 4A of the Public Order Act, which bans people from causing intentional harassment, alarm, or distress. The law declares that a person is guilty of the offense. Now, this is just amazing that this is the law. Listen to this. It says a person is guilty of an offense with intent to cause a person harassment, alarm, or distress. If he's using threatening, abusive, or insulting words or behavior or disorderly conduct or displays any writing, sign, or visible representation which is threatening, abusive, or insulting, so he's not doing anything, his words or something on a sign might bother you. So you can have somebody arrested because they offend you.
As I always said, I repeat myself. I feel like I'm getting old. Like I'm becoming an old man. You know, when people just keep repeating themselves, I repeat myself again. Told Christy a good 14 years ago when we started this program, or maybe a little bit after that. I said, you must first get rid of the light. When you get rid of the light, darkness will take place. And when you have darkness, roaches will grow. Roaches do not live in a kitchen when the light is on. They only live and survive and grow when is the light is off, when it's dark. What's happened in Europe is exactly what we're going through in America. And guess what? They did not like the Ten Commandments in Europe 2 years ago. Now it's been the last few years in America where it gets rid of the Ten Commandments. So what do you expect is going to be? And by the way, after they get rid of that preacher, the Muslim mayor of London and the Muslims who live in London, they will not say homosexuality is sin. I would love just to hear it from Muslims. They will actually kill the homosexual. We got one case in Orlando. One case in Orlando where 50-some were killed. Were killed in the gay and lesbian club by a Muslim man. As I predicted about it 13 days earlier, I was speaking in Wisconsin. Muslim joined with the garbage liberals. They're garbage. They're sewerage. Poopy and pee-pee. Like the gay and lesbian churches of London who put the rainbow as a flag for the church. We got plenty of them in America. So the Muslim and the gay and lesbian and the liberal churches joined together to protest me in my meeting in one of the churches. We know what I said. I said the day is coming in America where these gay and lesbian outside who are celebrating with their color flags, you know, the rainbow big umbrella they have, that they will come and these Muslims whom they are joining right now, they will be shooting them and hunting and killing them. Well, guess what? 13 days later, we got the shooting in Orlando, Florida, where the nightclub shooting took place. And believe it or not, it is the Muslim mayor of London and the Muslim of London love to see the government shutting down Christian churches, shutting up Christian ministers from saying the truth. Well, I'm sorry. Homosexuality is sin. It's equal to lying. It is equal to murder. It's equal to adultery. It's equal to any sin and anything we do disobedient to God. Or it's equal even for when you see the right things and you don't do it, you don't say it, the sin of silence is the same. You know that for me, to see the homosexuality growing in my community and see these churches who call themselves churches have two gay pastors or two lesbian ladies as the ministers. And if I don't speak against it, in God's eye, Brother Paul, I am committing the same sin of homosexuality. Can you imagine that?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's the law. That's what our God tells us.
Exactly. So how can I be a Christian minister and I say something wrong and I don't speak, even if I am the one who's committing the sin? Sin is still sin. It's not because David slept with Bathsheba. Now adultery is not adultery. Excuse me. You are the man, the prophet Nathaniel told him. Yes, he is a king. Yes, he is a prophet. He is a man after God's own heart. But when he sinned and slept with Bathsheba, it's adultery. So it doesn't matter who's committing it. And I love what one of my professors at New Orleans in the preaching class, he said, if we do not speak about sin which we commit, the day is coming and sin will be the norm in the church life. Let me say it again. So if a preacher lies, and you know, well, we're not going to talk about the sin of lies now because the preacher lied. Another preacher have the sin of lust. Well, we're not going to talk about the sin of lust because he's living a sin. And another preacher commits this sin. Another preacher commits that. If preachers do not expose sin, including even their own sin, not because I commit the sin, I'm not speaking about it. Because if we do that, that will be the destruction of the church. That will be the destruction of the morality in America. So, I'm sorry. That preacher has the right to say homosexuality is sin. And he has the right to say lies is sin. And stealing is sin. But the problem is, what's happening in Europe is what's happening in America. We'll get rid of the Ten Commandments. We're not going to talk about sin. There are plenty of conservative churches in America today. We'll not talk about these issues, these sins, because they don't want to offend some people in the church. Can you imagine when the law will be written like we have in England? They're going to make a number, law number 652. whatever number, 679, whatever number, like the number you read to me. And then it will be the law of the land in America. You cannot talk about these things. They will shut us down by the law. God help us. Oh, Lord.
It is kind of shocking, and it's frustrating, and especially when you see what's happening. Well, you had a topic that you wanted to discuss.
Okay, you want to talk about my teaching, huh?
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I think maybe you have one more thing to talk about, but that's okay. I will turn my computer, Lord willing, and we're going to move to our study. You guys, let me share with you a little bit, since we got everything finished so far. In our study, we talked about Abraham, and we finished Abraham with Sister Christy before she got sick with coronavirus. But I want to just kind of give you a quick some comments about Abraham, and then I'm going to move to a different study, Lord's willing, in tonight and the next few weeks as we have the privilege to be on air and we'll be able to talk. Because who knows, maybe next week I'll be arrested like that preacher in England, or next week I will be shot by some good Muslims, those who love Allah and Muhammad and obey the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad. But we talked about Abraham. And there's things I want to emphasize on tonight before we move on to Abraham and Lot. As I'm talking about Lot himself as a character fit, which we always read about as we go throughout the Quran. And then I'm going to talk about Abraham and Isaac, his son. I'm going to talk about Abraham and Esau, which is Jacob's twin brother. And then talk about Abraham and Jacob, and then talk about Joseph, Lord's willing. But here's what I would like to things I would like to talk a little bit about before we move on to the rest of these studies. We do not know too much about Abraham, as we already talked about that, or we covered this in our previous study. But we know that Abraham has a woman. The Quran says, Imra'at Ibrahim, have a woman. Abraham had a woman, a wife, in the polite language. In the Quran, Imra'at al-Aziz, the woman of Aziz, he meant the man who bought Joseph, which Muhammad thought in the Quran to be Pharaoh, but obviously he was not a Pharaoh. And then we know Imra'at Nuh, the woman of Noah, and the woman of Adam, and the woman, we do not know too many names, but since Muhammad did not have a good source of his stories, Jibreel does not know too much, neither Allah, so what can he do? If you're gonna go to the guy Abraham, say the woman of Abraham, not the wife of Abraham, as somebody translated. No, the woman of Abraham. So now we ask the question: how many wives did Abraham have? Because all what the Quran said is the woman of Abraham. Which one? Do you know that from the reading of the Quran, ladies and gentlemen, we can guess some of the most important information about Abraham. We know for sure Muhammad got the name wrong concerning his daddy. He called him the son of Azar. The son of Azar. But in reality, the Bible teaches that Abraham's daddy was Terah. Now, we know from the hadith that Abraham's mama was a believer, even though his daddy was an unbeliever. Why is that? Because when they throw Abraham into the fire, she asked Abraham if he will ask Allah, and Allah will make it okay for her to go and visit her son in the fire. And Abraham talked to Allah, and Allah said, sure, mama, come on. And she went and visited with Abraham after they threw Abraham in the fire, which obviously it is a nonsense. Nonsense. Abraham was never thrown into the fire. Now, we also know, so she believed, she was a believer in the Allah, the God of Abraham. We also know that Abraham had two or three sons, one by the name Ishmael, but we do not know who is the mother of Ishmael. Guys, I'm not comedy here. I'm not drunk. I'm not joking. This is the reality. When you study the Quran, you have no clue who is Ishmael's mama. If I tell a Muslim, Ishmael's mama is Sarah, they cannot argue with me. Why? Because, I'm sorry, show me in the Quran Hagar. The name Hagar is not mentioned in the Quran. The name Sarah was never mentioned in the Quran. All what you know is the wife, not the wife, the woman of Abraham. But at the same time, when we read the Quran, Allah said to Abraham that Sarah, that his wife, his woman, his woman will have a son. And then he said, and after him, she will have Isaac and Jacob. Wait a minute. So she's going to have 3 children, Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob. Yes, indeed, that's what the Quran says. Guys, the problem I have with Christians when they read the Quran is they cannot separate the knowledge which they receive from the Bible with that which is written in the pages of the Quran. You follow me, Brother Paul? So if I tell you
Absolutely.
Abraham and his wife, you automatically, without thinking, I even done this with Brother Sam Shimon. I did like 5-6 programs with him last week when he was with me here, his live broadcast online. So when I talked to him, and I did it on purpose, so Abraham's wife here, he said, yeah, Hagar. I said, where do you come up with the name Hagar? When I say Ishmael's mama, immediately Christians say Hagar. I said, no, according to the Quran, there is no Hagar. Isaac's mama. Who is Isaac's mama in the Quran? We do not know. How many wives Abraham have in the Quran? We do not know. There is no way you can know that. Good luck to figure out that. When we read the stories of the Quran and we know it is wrong. We know it is wrong because it doesn't make any sense. Okay? We know it's wrong. But when Muslims read it, they believe it. But because we Christians know the true biblical account, we can't help it but to laugh. Let me give you a good example. Okay, you got your Bible ready, brother?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, let's go to Quran chapter 37. We read that before, but we'll read it again. Chapter 37. Go to Quran chapter 37.
Okay.
And I'm going to read you 2 different things took place there. And I'm going to tell you, where does it come from the Bible? We can laugh at it, but Muslims don't, because they do not know. Okay. Go to Quran chapter 37. Let's start to make sense out of what we're reading. Beginning from verse 85. I know we read it before. I just have a point. I want to get to it. Okay?
Okay. When he said to his father and his people, what are you serving? Do you desire false gods without Allah? So what do you think of the Lord of the worlds? I'm sorry, how far do you want me to go here?
Keep going.
Okay, so he looked carefully at the stars. So he said, surely I am sick. So they turned away from him. Then he turned to their gods. So he said, will you not eat? Why can you not talk? So he fell on them, striking them with the right hand. So they came to him in haste.
Let's stop here, brother. Let's stop here for a minute.
Okay.
I know that the story here is written different than what we read in Quran chapter 21, because in chapter 21, he actually, maybe not 21, I can't remember now, he actually worshipped the star at night, if you remember, we talked about that, and then worshipped the moon the following night, and then worshipped the sun the third night. Here, he looked at the stars, and he said, I'm sick. So he left them. What happened to the worship of Abraham, to the sun, and the moon, and the star, which he saw in these 3 nights, in the 2 nights and the first day. The story changed, but that's okay. He began to swing by his right hand, and he destroyed the idol which his people were worshiping. Where do we learn about that in the Bible? Do you have your Bible ready, brother?
Yes.
Go to the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 25. In the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 25.
Which is 6:25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take your father,
him's
young
boy. Him here is Gideon, Judge Gideon. Go ahead.
Yes. Take your father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, and throw down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the grove that is by it.
So, who did destroy the idols? Who destroys the altar? It was Judge Gideon, not Abraham, son of Terah. See, we know that because we have the truth, but most of them don't. To know it, and we have to share it with them to show it. Here's a mistake. First of all, God did not send Abraham to his people, to his father, to his tribe, to his country. God simply called him out of his people, his father, his country. He was not sent there as a prophet, but he was removed from this country, from the land of the Chaldeans. That's number one. That's a big mistake. As we read throughout the Quran, we see Abraham was sent to his father. When Abraham speaks to his people, when Abraham did this and all this, and on and on and on, that is nonsense. He did not destroy the God and keep the big one, as we read previously in our study. No, the one who destroyed and break destroyed the altar, it was Gideon. No. Now, keep going. Read the next 3-4 verses.
Okay. Okay. And built an
altar. That's in Quran. Quran,
in the
chapter 37, verse 94.
Just a second. Verse 94. So they came to him in haste. He said, do you serve what you carve? And Allah created you and what you do. They said,
excuse me.
Build a building.
Allah created them. No. Allah created them and what they do? Allah created the idols which they make by their hands? I mean, hello? We're not just reading the Quran. We need to understand what does he mean? Allah created you and what you do. Well, they are making idols out of stones and wood and rocks and gold and silver. Did Allah make that? Keep going.
They said, build a building for him. So they threw him into the hellfire. So they desired.
They threw Abraham in the fire. Okay? They threw Abraham in the fire. Let's go to Daniel, chapter 3, beginning from verse 16. Daniel, chapter 3, beginning from verse 16, to see who is the people, who are the persons who were thrown into the fire. Was it Abraham or somebody else?
3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up.
Boy, oh boy, we need Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today in America. We need godly Christian minister in America who would say, itch, not. I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the other itch. I am not going to close my building. I'm not going to stop worshiping my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And you can go to itch, not heaven, the other place. And he and his people will stand up. If we can have some really good conservative church to do that in this country, we can stop it. We can stop the Democrat agenda. The church can stop the Democrat agenda, and they will not shut this country, and they will not win another election. But no, political correctness. We need to be nice. Jesus was nice and Christian. No, Jesus was not nice Christian. Jesus went to the temple and he cleansed it. We need to go to this, to an our church and keep it clean, and will not allow this garbage to be in it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so keep going. Keep reading, brother.
In the Bible or the Quran?
Bible. Book of Daniel.
Okay, sorry.
Then,
okay. Then was Nebuchadnezzar. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was heated, was supposed to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him and to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High, forth and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them.
Now,
Nebuchadnezzar,
what
I'm sorry.
Was, no, no, we're not stopping you. We're going to read a little bit more.
Okay.
What
okay.
was the reaction? What was the reaction of this biblical account, this true account which took place in the history of the life of the children of Israel when they were in captivity? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Because the God of the Bible delivers them from the fire, and they came out of the fire alive without any damage, without any harm. What was the reaction of the king? What was the reaction? How God was glorified? What was the end of the story? Read to us the following few verses, please.
Okay. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other god that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Now we know the story, ladies and gentlemen. They were thrown to the fire. The God of the Bible delivered them. They said, it doesn't matter. If God does deliver us, we'll praise God. If not, we will not worship you or your statue anyway. But then when they came out of the fire alive, healthy, no harm, the decision comes from the king. First of all, he glorifies the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. He makes an order nobody can speak against them or against their God. And he, literally, this is a revival taking place. A revival took place in the days of Shadrach, Meshach, and they were rewarded to be put in high position. Now, let's go back to the Quran, chapter 37, and read to me what happened after they threw Abraham into the fire, beginning in verse 98,
it says, so they desired a scheme against him, so he made them the lowest. And he said, surely I am...
Whoa. What does it mean, we made them the lowest? So what happened? What happened to them? Did they lost their position? Did they lost money? Did they got sick? What is... did they die? Or what does it mean, make them the lowest?
I was wondering if that made it...
Does that mean they made him a custodian?
Oh,
in hellfire?
That's a good, interpretation. I like it. Okay. And then what happened in verse 99?
And he said, surely I am going to my Lord. He will guide me.
Abraham is going to go to his Lord. Wait a minute. And God will guide him, future tense? I thought he was guided. Brother, read the first verse again, the first verse we read tonight. What do we have there? Verse 83, 84. I'm sorry, we did not read that.
And surely
84, the
of
beginning
his
of the story.
It says, and surely of his fact was Abraham when he came to the
talking
his
about
Lord.
Noah, because the previous verses, it talk about Noah. And now Abraham from the sect of Noah. Wow. That's a brand new information, so much important information. I don't know how in the world we even know to figure this in the Bible. I mean, who do you know in this world is not the descendant of Abraham, of Noah after the flood? Everybody came from Noah, but that's okay. And what happened in verse 84?
When he came to his Lord with a sound heart.
So he was a believer. His heart was in the right way, and that's when he started preaching to his people and his daddy. And now in verse 99, he said, his Lord will guide him? You mean he was not guided yet? How can you say that he was? His heart was completely belonged to Allah, and at the same time, now Allah is going to guide him? Excuse me. What did we learn from the story of Abraham after he came out of the fire? Of course, he did not stay in the fire. We know from the hadith that his mama went and visited him, and she had a cup of hot tea with him in the fire, and behold, there was, I mean, she left, and a little bit later, Abraham came out of the fire. There is no king to say, come out, O Abraham. Oh, I believe in your God, O Abraham. Nobody will insult. No, no. Abraham came out of the fire, and he says, I'm going to my Lord, and he will guide me. So did anybody believe in Abraham? I mean, think about this, Paul. The guy was in the fire, and the fire was so hot, and he came out of the fire. What happened next? Can somebody help me tell me? What do we learn about Abraham's story? You see, what's happened here is Muhammad confused, as Muhammad confused Gideon with Abraham concerning the altars and the gods he was worshiping. Now Muhammad is confused, and again, between Abraham and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. He thought it's a good story. Hey, both of them and Abraham. But by the way, you know why Muhammad was confused about Abraham? Because in the Bible, God called Abraham from to get out of Ur al-Kildaniyin. Ur, this word, can mean two things. Can mean the city of the Kildaniyin, as in the case of Urushalim, Jerusalem, Urushalim, the city of Shalim. Or it could be the light, which translated wrong to the fire of the Kildaniyin. So Muhammad heard the story wrong because of a misunderstanding of one word. Instead of the light of the Kildaniyin, it was translated the fire of the Kildaniyin. And behold, Muhammad with his great imagination, Allah's help, Jibreel, and everybody together, all of them work together to make up the story about Abraham thrown into the fire. But it's what's so amazing, the end of the story is a comedy. At least in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were rewarded. They were put in high position. Their God was glorified. The king believed in the God of Israel who saved and delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, Allah in the Quran delivered Abraham. I mean, he was not cooked in the fire. He was not burned and become ashes. He came alive. He speaks to him. Here we go. Allah will guide me. I'm going to my Lord and he will guide me. Oh, Allah, make me of the righteous in chapter, create for me a righteous in chapter, in verse 100. But what do we learn after that? What was the people's reaction? Don't you think that's important thing happened in Abraham's life? He thrown the fire, came out of the fire. Anything good came out of it? No. Because Muhammad was just simply confused between what is written in the Bible and what is written in the Quran. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
So verse 100?
No, I'm done. I'm done with it. If you have a comment or anything.
How can anybody, I'm often amazed at this book that they call Holy, which is actually generous, a generous confusion, I guess, if they can't get a simple story straight, how do they claim to have, I mean, this is a simple story that they can't get straight. Where do they get the claim that there's Ishmael, that they're descendants from Ishmael? If they can't figure if they can't figure out who Abraham is, even the story of Ishmael has to have issues.
You know, what's amazing, I can open the Bible and I tell you who is Jesus in the flesh, all the way from Adam to Jesus. Can you imagine that with me? I literally thought it was Adam. And I go from Adam to Abraham to David to Jesus. Imagine if this was me. I can open the Bible and I share with you literally a good 4,000 years of history. 4,000 years of history from the day Adam was created until Jesus was born. But Muslims automatically, as you mentioned, just connect Abraham to Ishmael to Muhammad, even though Muslims do not know who is Muhammad's father. I'm sorry. Abdullah cannot be Muhammad's father. Hello? A mother cannot be pregnant for 4 years. Abdullah died 3 years before Muhammad was born. End of story. You cannot tie Muhammad to Ishmael, period. Arab are the descendant of Keturah. But the problem is, Muslim would tell you, oh, we got our scholars. We have to read our scholars' interpretation. And that's where we understand the Quran. Do you know who is the scholars' interpretation? Like who? Like Ibn Kathir, like Al-Tabari, like Al-Qurtubi, like Al-Jalan. As a matter of fact, I have here, I'm holding in my hand right now, Qasas al-Anbiya, the story of the Prophet, written by Ibn Kathir. The guy died 747. After immigration, literally 700 years after Muhammad died. Now, you may think, how in the world Ibn Kathir knows the interpretation of these stories? He would tell you, Ishmael is the son of Hagar. He would tell you, Isaac is the son of Sarah. He would tell you, Lot is the nephew of Abraham. I mean, he will actually give you exactly the true understanding of these biblical stories. Why? Is it because he's a prophet? No. Is it because he received some revelation from Allah? No. Is it because he has some mystery and he can open the Quran and found information we do not know? It's a little bit ambiguous verse and he can figure it out and mix it? No. So how in the world Ibn Kathir can tell me this simple information? Oh, he read the Bible. Oh, thank you. I have my friend here, Brother Jody, sitting with me. Brother Jody Sheps, he's visiting with me the last couple of days. Wonderful, godly Christian brother. And he sent the Bible. He got it from the Bible. Yes, indeed, Brother Bishop. Ibn Kathir got it from the Bible. And what is so amazing, ladies and gentlemen, when you open Ibn Kathir's book, the one I have in my hand here, and I'm going to go one of the early pages of his book, believe it or not, and I have it highlighted so I will not get lost. On page 17, he said, وَلَسْنَا نَذْكُرُ مِنَ الْإِسْرَائِلِيَّاتِ إِلَّا مَا أَذْنَ الشَّارَى فِي نَقْلِهِ مِمَّا لَا يُخَالِفْ كِتَبَ اللَّهِ. And we do not mention any of the things which is the Jewish people believe in, he meant the Old Testament, except what the lawgiver accepts, which does not disagree with the book of Allah, he meant the Quran, and the sunnah of Rasulihi, which is the way of life of his messenger, he meant Muhammad. And then he said, وَسَنَذْكُرُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّحَلِّي. We're going to mention just as a way of, it's like having a dessert after a big good meal, okay? We don't need the dessert. If you have a good, healthy, good dinner, you don't need it. You don't have to have a piece of cake or anything. But this is what we say: لا على سبيل الاحتياج إليه. Not because we need it, this information. wallet ultimately, or not, because we depend on it. So what he's saying is, we're going to mention from the Old Testament, we're going to mention from the New Testament some of the information, not because we need it. No, we don't need it at all. It's just like a dessert, okay? We don't depend on it. We don't need it. It's just a little bit flavor. No big deal. I'm sorry. That Ibn Kathir is a big liar from the bottom of hell. You know why? Because you cannot understand any story. You have to depend on the Bible. You need the Bible. You cannot understand a sentence, for heaven's sake, about any of the stories of the prophets of the Quran without going back to the Bible. I mean, as simple as, who is Abraham's woman? Did he have one woman or more than one? I mean, how can you understand that Sarah is the free woman and Hagar is a slave? He did not marry Hagar. She was just a slave. He literally had sex with her one time and got her pregnant because of the wishes of his wife, Sarah. Well, what about Keturah? You know, when you tell Muslim Keturah, I said, Keturah, who is Keturah? Well, Abraham's wife. Wait a minute. Abraham have another wife by the name Keturah? When did he get married to her? He never sent me invitation. What's wrong with this prophet? What kind of man is that? Get married to another lady without let us know. Oh, you missed it. And by the way, Keturah, we read her account in Genesis chapter 25, the first 6 verses. And by the way, that Keturah is your mama, you idiot Arabs. That is the mama of all the Arabs who came out of Keturah and Abraham. But they don't know that. So how in the world you can, brothers, promise you, I can talk with you about every chronicle story which you copied from the Bible. And I promise you, you will not understand one of them. And I can ask you 50 to 100 questions about every name of these names, and I challenge you to give me an answer without reading the Bible. Good luck.
I think it's amazing. I mean, how do you create? I mean, Robert Spencer's questioning whether Muhammad was a real person, and if these stories are so haphazardly put in, and they're,
you know, it's. I think there's some valid questions here, but.
By the way, Paul, I believe Muhammad did exist, and the reason I believe Muhammad did exist is the evil character, the immoral person who he is, as it is written in the teaching of the Quran and in the Sunnah of Muhammad, in the saying of Muhammad and the bibliography written by his companions. If Muslims only say wonderful things about Muhammad, how godly he was, how loving he was, he never, raped women, he never kidnapped his own daughter-in-law. He never had a sexual relationship with a little girl. He was a pedophile, for heaven's sake. And on with all the sins of Muhammad. All of these sins is a great evidence that Muhammad is a true person who ever exists. And by the way, if I would debate Robert Spencer, I would use this argument to prove that he's wrong. And there are plenty of people, by the way, who are copying now Robert Spencer, believe Muhammad never exists. But that doesn't make sense. The opposite is true, by the way. The reason I believe the Bible is true, which is similar to what I'm saying. I'm talking about in the opposite side. I'm talking about in Christianity. I know for sure the Bible is the perfect word of God, not because the Bible people are perfect, but because the Bible people are sinners. And I don't think anybody ever changed a verse or a paragraph in the Bible. Because if I'm a good Jew and I have the privilege or the honor of changing one sentence in the Old Testament, I would take the sin of David committing adultery or murder out. I mean, that's the least I can do to my king, the one I love. If I'm a Christian and I have the privilege or the honor of changing the pages of the Bible, the New Testament, I would take this sin of Peter denying Jesus. I mean, for heaven's sake, Peter is one of the pillars of the church. It's strong. The foundation of the church after Christ is the apostles. And guess what? Peter is one of them. And he denied Jesus. Not only he denied Jesus, he actually cursed. The man used the F word and the S word and the L word to that lady to say, I don't know that man, Jesus. So because of the sins of the leaders and the kings of the Old Testament and the sins of the early apostles and the people of the church, I'm sorry, I have to tell you, that Bible is perfect. Because if you're going to change something in the Bible, clean up the mess which exists all over the life of the people of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. So I believe Muhammad did exist, and I believe he was an evil, wicked, sinful man. And I believe Muslims cannot do anything about it to change it. And when Muslims use logic and common sense, and they go back to their sins and say, wait a minute, I cannot believe in that Muhammad. I can't. The reason number two why Muslims leave Islam is because they got to know Muhammad. Reason number one why Muslims leave Islam is because they read the Quran. Wow. We should encourage the Muslims to read the Quran, and we as Christians should read the Quran so we can help the Muslims to see the errors and the contradictions of the Quran, as we've been doing here in our study concerning Abraham. I mean, literally, we can go on and on with Abraham forever, but we finished Abraham, so I'm not going to get into Abraham anymore, and it is 36 after the hour. So let's move on, brother. Get me your Quran ready, if you don't mind. We're going to talk a little bit about Lot tonight, and I know we have mentioned so many of these verses in previous in our study because Lot is tied to Abraham. So if you're going to talk about Abraham, you have to mention Lot. And if you're going to talk about Lot, you're going to mention Abraham. But we'll do our best here just to concentrate on Lot so I don't have to repeat what I said about Abraham. So we're going to go to the first mention of Lot, which, by the way, I say it again, in the Quran, we have no clue. What is the relationship between Lot and Abraham? As a matter of fact, when you read the Quran, you may come to the conclusion or you come to the assumption that Abraham was a prophet and Lot was a prophet, because that's what Muslims believe. They're two prophets. And somehow, Allah delivered Lot and Abraham from the first place to go to another place. We do not know what is the first place, and we do not know what is the second place. As we just read in Quran chapter 57, verse 99, Allah will guide him. He will go to his Lord and Allah will guide him. Where Abraham is going, he has no clue where he's going. Where Muslim can tell us Abraham went, they have no idea where he went. All what they know is that Allah guided him. So, Quran chapter 6, and I want us to read beginning from verse 86. Quran 6, beginning from verse 86, to learn about Lot. Okay?
Okay. 686. And Ishmael.
Do me a favor. Let's read beginning from verse 84 so we can get the context right.
Okay. And we granted to him Isaac and
him
Jacob.
Him here is Abraham. Okay, we granted Abraham. Who?
And we granted to him Isaac and Jacob, guided both.
Okay,
and
Let's stop. If I say, and I granted Paul, Mark, and Nancy, what do you think from that? Who is Mark and Nancy comparing to Paul?
So that would be my children.
God bless you. So Allah here is telling us that he granted Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is Isaac and who is Jacob in relationship to Abraham? Don't laugh, brother. But see, here's the problem. We read the Quran with the understanding of the Bible. We know Isaac is the father of Jacob, and we know Isaac is the son of Abraham. So we granted Abraham Isaac, and after Isaac, he had a son, which is grandson of Abraham, by the name Jacob. But I'm sorry, that's not what the Quran says. Are you following me, Paul?
Yes. It's silly. I mean, it's so much garbage.
Forget about the Bible. Here's my point. You want to understand the Quran, put the Bible aside. You don't need the Bible. The corrupt book. The Bible is a corrupt book. Let's read the Quran. We granted Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Logic and common sense, Isaac and Jacob are two brothers, and they are the sons of Abraham. Is that right or wrong?
That's what it reads like, yes.
I'm sorry. How can you read it some other way? How can you read it another way?
And Noah was we guided before, and among his descendants. Wait. We guided before, and that's kind of confusing right there.
That's okay, David, because Muhammad, my brother, Muhammad does not know who came first, who came second, so he's confused. So you say, and God did before. Wow, that was Abraham. No, no, that was Noah. No, no, that was Abraham and Noah. Everybody was God did before. Keep going.
David and Solomon and Job and Joseph and Moses and Aaron. And likewise, that's really confusing. Wow.
I'm confused, brother. Allah and Jibreel and Muhammad do not know who came first, who came second. Imagine with me. Abraham, we're talking about Abraham. After that, Abraham, he had two sons, one by the name Isaac and one by the name Jacob. And we guided them. Okay, good. We guided both of them. And then Noah before that, we guided. And the descendant of Noah, David and Solomon and Job. Are you trying to tell me that's the right order? David and Solomon, good. David is the father, Solomon the son. Job, for heaven's sake, come all the way before David and Solomon. And Joseph, wait a minute. Joseph is the son of Jacob. He should say, Abraham have two sons, have a son by the name Isaac, who begotten Jacob, who begotten Joseph. But no, what come after Joseph? Moses. What come after Moses? Aaron. Wait a minute. Moses and Aaron are brothers. He made them here like Moses is the father of Aaron. Can't you see it? If you put the names like that, it has to be this come after this. But no, Moses and Aaron were together. What come in verse 85? Tell me about 85.
And Zechariah and Yahya and Isa and Elias all were from the good. And Ishmael.
Are you trying to tell me now? No, brother. One verse at a time. One verse at a time.
Okay.
Brother Paul.
Okay.
So we got Zechariah. Oh, that's New Testament. Yahya, supposed to be John the Baptist, which obviously Muhammad gives the wrong name in the Quran. And Isa, Jesus. Okay. Was Jesus really a result of sex and marriage and baby like John the Baptist, like Zechariah? No. And then who come after Jesus? Elijah? Are you kidding me? Elijah come after Jesus? Now let's get to our verse, 86.
And Ishmael and Al-Yasa.
Whoa. I thought Ishmael is Abraham's first son. So let's go back again to verse 84. He says, and we granted him, meaning Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. How in the world you forgot the word Ishmael in verse 84 and you put him after Jesus, after Elijah? And who came after Ishmael?
And who is this Al-Yasa person?
Al-Yasa is Elisha. Al-Yasa is Elisha. Shouldn't we put Elisha after Elijah and Elisha? The two characters in the Old Testament, you know, Prophet Elijah, and Prophet Elisha, which come after him. Okay. These two should come through. So Elias, which you read about after Isa, that is Prophet Elijah. Elijah now come after Ishmael. And after this, you got Eunice, which is Prophet Jonah. And after Jonah, you got Lot, who's supposed to be the nephew of Abraham in verse 84.
So much confusing and just a little part.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. I'm glad you said that because I am confused too. And the only reason I know the confusion of these names in the Quran is because simply I know the true biblical account. I know the true names of all these people in the Bible. I know the real name. I know the right order. You know, one of the quiz we have, and I talked about that before. I repeat myself now. I'm getting old. One of the quizzes we have is the Old Testament survey, or even the New Testament survey. And the professor will give us a bunch of names like this, cocktail like that. And he will ask us to put these names in the right orders with the dates. Let me say it again. I'm going to give you a bunch of names like that, and I'm asking you to put them in the right order with the dates. So you tell me when Abraham was. Well, Abraham was 1800 before Christ. Okay? When Moses was? Well, Moses was 1,500 before years before Christ. David, when David was 1,000 years before Christ. And so on with every name we're talking about in the Bible. Because that is a quiz we get in our Old Testament survey in seminary. If you give that quiz to Allah and to Jibreel and to Muhammad, they will get nothing but a big fat F. Why? Because I don't think neither Allah or Jibreel Muhammad know who came first and who came second. Okay? Trust me. I know this for a fact. Now, we're going to move from Quran chapter 686, which we learned nothing about. All I learned from that verse here in that chapter, can you imagine? Muhammad mentioned Lot in Quran chapter 6 by simply mentioning his name in the midst of a cocktail of names, like a salad. You know, when you mix salad, you cut lettuce and tomato, cucumber, black olive, cheese, and the radish, and the pickle, and all this mixed together. It's just mixed together. That's why we call it salad. The Quran is a salad when it comes to names of people. Now, let's move on to Quran chapter 7. Quran chapter 7 and verse 8.
Verse 8?
80.
Okay, thank you.
Let me put you, yes, that's the beginning. Beginning of verse 8, yeah.
Verse 80. And Lot, when he said to his people, do you enter into indecency which no one has committed before you in the worlds?
Okay.
You enter into the men lustfully rather than the women. Yet you are an extravagant people.
Wow. See, so did Lot say that in the Bible? You see, the whole idea when you read the Quran here, you think this is the assumption. This is what you think, that Lot was a prophet and Allah sent it to his people. And now he's preaching to his people. Why are you having sex with men and not having sex with women? This is a sin. This is indecency. So what the people said in verse 82?
And the answer of his people was not, except they said, get them out of your village, for surely they are purified humans.
Wait a minute. Who are they are talking about? Get them out. I thought it was Lot talking to the people. Why do you want to get them, not him, out? Who are? But don't tell me now that Lot have a wife and Lot have sons and daughters and family. No, no, no. Get them out. Who are them? From the Quran. I don't mean to learn from the Bible. The Bible is a corrupt book. Forget about the Bible. Get rid of it.
Verse 83.
Why not say, get him?
Oh, sir.
I mean, he should say, get him out. And is the reason because he's purified man, is this a reason for them to get rid of him? First of all, none of what we're reading here in the Quran is true. This is made up. Muhammad was drinking some stuff or smoking some stuff, whatever it is he's smoking or drinking, and he's making up stuff. He's making up poetry of the Quran. And notice now, when you read the Quran, it's poetry, which means, let me read to you what you just read in English, okay? Let me do you. وَلَوْطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَحْشَاتُ مَا سَبَقُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ Notice in. إنكم لتأتون الرجال شهوة من دون النساء بل أنتم قوم مسرفون. No, we move to the moon. وما كان جواب قومي إلا أن قالوا خرجوهم من قريتكم إنهم إناس يتطهرون. Notice here. Noah, in the Quran, is using poetry in his talk, which ended with un. And the people answer is also using poetry, and the end of it is un. In reality, that does not happen. In the poetry, and you're talking to people, people are not going to fulfill your desire and continue with the rhythm of your writing with the same poetry. It doesn't make any sense. It does not. Number one, that's the reality of poetry. He may be speaking poetry, and people will talk something else, but they're following him in his poetry. That is, they think that's the beauty of the Quran. I think that's the foolishness of the Quran. Maybe the prophet liked to use the language of King James, Shakespeare. But the people who are talking back to you, who are not prophets, they are not supposed to use the same style of writing, okay? But that's okay. But that's not the issue. The issue is none of what we read in Quran chapter 7 concerning Lot is true. Because in the Bible, once again, we don't read that Lot was a prophet sent to his people, and he said, guys, don't sleep with your men. Men sleeping with men and women. And by the way, where is the woman sleeping with women? Because biblically, we know that the sin of homosexuality is not just men. The men were sleeping with men, and the women sleeping with women, using what is not natural. We read about that also in Romans 2. Because if you have a homosexual lifestyle, I'm sorry, Romans 1. So I said 2, 1. So because if you have a homosexual lifestyle, it's not just about men. In any country around the world, from the beginning of from the days of Lot until today, when there is men having sex with men, there are women having sex with women, leaving what is natural and doing what is unnatural. Because that's the work of the devil. It's not like, oh, all the wives were nice wives. All the women were nice women. They would believe in Allah and believe in love, except the men. No. Why Muhammad did not mention anything about the women? Next verse, brother. Go ahead.
Verse 83.
Yes.
So we delivered him and his family, except his wife. She was one of those who stayed behind.
How much truth is there?
Stayed behind.
Okay.
The pillar of salt, maybe.
what I'm saying is, when you read that, you think that she was left behind because we know the biblical account. She looked behind and she turned to a pillar of salt. But where do we read that in the Quran? I mean, where? What? Why she stayed behind? She just loved to live there. She found herself a girlfriend. She became a lesbian. What do you mean she stayed behind? What happened to her? How about next verse? Go ahead.
And we rained rain on them. So see how was the end of the criminals.
Write down, Brother Paul. Write down. If the Lord is willing and Sister Christy is healed and became strong, I want you to just be part of our conversation, and we'll continue this study together. And we need to pray for Sister Christy. The Lord will bring healing to her body in Jesus' name. Just she would be strong and set free from COVID, and she'll be so powerful like a camel with two humps. That's how I like to see Christy. So keep her, guys, in your prayer. Here's a question I want to write down. How did God, the God of Muhammad, Allah, punished the people of Lot according to Quran chapter 7 and verse 84. Write it down, because I promise you, I'm going to share with you another different punishment, three different punishments on the same people, actually, well, maybe four, on the same people, because Muhammad forgot. How did Allah punish them in 784? Can you read it again for me?
784, and he rained rain on. So,
rain. I don't understand. Why Allah mentioned rain twice in the same verse to start with? وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهُمْ مَطَرًا. Excuse me. When you say we rain on them, do you really need to tell me what it is? Yes, it is. مَطَر, rain. Good. I'm glad that Muhammad was so specific. Exactly. What rain? It was rain of rain, which means what? Water. Don't you think so? When they say it's
absolutely
raining,
that's what it says.
It is raining, Brother Paul, and it is raining rain. Oh, for sure I know it is rain of water, H2O, okay? Can you write next to that verse, H2O, on your piece of paper? Don't lose this piece of paper now, because I'm not going to be able to search back and find it. So it was H2O, Brother Paul, okay? We're going to stop here because of our time is up. Lord is willing. We're going to continue with Lot to learn about, can the Quran be a true revelation from God? This is how we started the study about Abraham. We just picked up Abraham as an example, and we're going to move to Lot. And as I shared earlier, after Lot, we're going to talk about Ishmael and Isaac and Esau and Jacob. And then, if the Lord's willing, if we still alive and we say here, we're going to get to Joseph. Even though we did Joseph in the past, but I will go back to it again. I love Joseph. It's my favorite story. If you don't like to hear Joseph, sorry, you just have to hear it because I love it, okay? So what, did you wrote this question and answer down, sir?
I didn't, because I just don't have something to write on right now. But, yeah, I'll take a note when I'm done.
Okay. We're almost done. It says Quran chapter 7, verse 84. And the question is how Allah punishes the people of Lot. In that chapter, he rained on them. He rained on them what? Rain. Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to know. He rained on them rain. And that was the punishment of the criminals. Lord's willing, next time we're going to go to Quran chapter 11 because that's the end of chapter 7. We're going to go to Quran chapter 11. And then we're going to go to Quran chapter 15. And boy, oh boy, we're going to have fun with Lot. And if Muslims have logic and common sense, if you're a Muslim and you hear me right now, my friends, I'm not mocking you. I'm not mocking your Quran. I'm opening your Quran. And my heart and my prayer is the Lord open your eyes, spiritually, especially your spiritual eye, to see that your Quran is an empty book. It is nonsensical book. It is a book of confusion. It is Muhammad heard the story, I don't know, 5-10 years before he starts writing about it in his book. It had to be at least 15 years, maybe 20 years, because if somebody tells me a story, I will remember it, and I will write it 15 years later, much better condition than Muhammad did for the pages of the Quran. Every story Muhammad copied the Quran is the same boo-boo. We already studied Abraham, and we learned nothing about Abraham. Now we're looking for Lot, and trust me, I know nothing about Lot by studying and reading the Quran. Not because I go back to my memory and remember what's in the Bible. Forget about the Bible. When you study the Quran, for the sake of understanding the Quran, well, good luck with that. Okay? Good luck. You will not answer any of my questions, and you will not understand what's happening. Now, if you read Ibn Kathir interpretation, that's a different story. Why? Because Ibn Kathir is quoting the Bible to help his reader to understand what's happening in the Quran. Brother Paul, my time is up. Thank you so much for producing the show tonight. And God bless you, brother. And Lord Jesus, once again, we pray for Sister Christy that you heal her body and touch her, Lord, and make her strong again. I pray also for my nephew, Sean, that you heal his body and get him back on his feet to come back to his wife and his work and his life and his ministry as he continue to love you and serve you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Paul, thanks again. God bless you, brother. I shall see you next Saturday, Lord's willing.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you, brother.
All right. And looking to see if I could find that send off, and I do not see it. I'm sorry, y'all. I just don't see it yet. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.
That's okay. Lord's willing, maybe next week you figure out how to close our program. Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate you.
All right.
And you have a wonderful good night. Appreciate you, man.
Okay. Good night. Bye, y'all.
Good night, everybody.